You would please turn to me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 842. And we read these words. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, and a clear conscience as night and day, as I can constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which was first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Great words. Look forward to hearing how God touches our heart with these words this morning. God bless.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. As the Apostle Paul was remembering Timothy and trying to encourage him in the faith and in the ministry, he addressed him on the subject of having a great heritage. Some of you who are here have had a great heritage. Your mothers, perhaps even your fathers, both of them together loved the Lord and raised you in the way of faith that has impacted you to the point of where life has taken on new meaning for you, and you have been thrilled to walk with the Lord. Some of you here didn't have that privilege. And through somehow of God working his grace, he brought you to a point where you could hear the message of Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation. And you've been blessed because of that. Some of you here may not even be believers. And in fact, some of you here may have been believers, but now you become so embittered that you're just not walking in faith. Or you have looked around at everybody else and you're just not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. I encourage you, come back. Come back. Come back to genuine faith. Come back to truth. Come back to hope. Come back to life. Paul, in this passage, and we're going to be looking at basically at three verses today. We're going to be looking at 5, 6, and 7. And I want to share with you some things that a truly godly woman wants for her kids. And it doesn't matter what their age is. She wants these things for them. And so consequently, she's ready to make the sacrifices to see that these opportunities are there. But I want to share with you the fact that a truly godly woman wants a faith reproduced, a gifted offspring, a fearless life, a power within, a love like God's, and then finally, a sound judgment. So let's look at these areas as Paul is talking to the young pastor. He is reminding him in that fifth verse about what his heritage is. And look at what he says in verse 5. He says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am convinced, I am sure, that it is in you as well." You see, a godly grandma and a godly mom produced a godly son. The influences of these significant women in the life of Timothy made a huge, huge impact. You know, I see a lot of women, even women in the church anymore, a lot of women who are more about themselves than they are about the Lord. They're more about themselves than they are about their families. And they're not fully committed to following Jesus Christ. And then they're stepping back because their children get wayward. They're stepping back and they're saying, "Well, where did I go wrong?" Well, you went wrong by not being faithful to God. And by not obeying God, but by being a self-seeker and a self-glorifier, by becoming embittered, by becoming a gossip, whatever. But you have hindered the work of God in the life of your children or perhaps your grandchildren. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. As Paul looked at Timothy, he says, "Man, I look at these ladies in your life, Tim, and this is amazing. You've got Grandma Lois, who had a sincere faith in the Lord. And how that translated into your mom, and how she then became a godly force and a godly influence. And because of their obedience and their faithfulness to God, it produced change in you." I'm going to tell you, there's an awful lot of young people that have no idea what a gift they've been given if they have godly parents. They think, "Oh man, I know so much more than them. You know, my mom and dad are stupid." What a horrible, horrible mindset. Someday, your mom and dad are going to get real smart in your eyes. Hopefully sooner than later. But you see, when our parents honor God, and fathers, this is as much for you as it is for the mothers. When our parents honor God, we have a greater chance of spiritual success. Train up your children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Children are the heritage of godly parents. And the church becomes more secure when parents are godly and when parents are leading their kids in godly ways. But where the parents are godless, the children become godless. Where the parents are bitter, the children become bitter. Where the parents are arrogant, the children become arrogant. You see, we pass along our morals and our values to our children. Paul looked at Timothy and he says, "Remember your grandma Lois, sincere faith. Remember your mom Eunice, a sincere faith. And what a gift that has been translated down to you." Secondly, The second thing, not only do parents want a faith that's reproduced, but they also want to see a gifted offspring. A gifted offspring. I want you to look at this in verse 6. It says, and for this reason, for what reason? Because of this heritage that you have, the amazing gift that was given to you through a godly grandma and a godly mom. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That gift of God through the laying on of my hands. You know, Paul is speaking in this case as a presbyter, as a leader, as a superintendent, as a senior pastor, whatever. But you see, Timothy became one of Paul's converts. And in that conversion, you see, there was great influence of grandma and mom, and consequently, God honored their prayers and their requests by sending Paul. And as Paul then won Timothy to the Lord, he began to disciple him, and he noticed in him the great gift of a calling. And so there was the laying on of hands for the commissioning of ministry. And I'll tell you, that's a cherished gift. When the presbyters, when the leaders recognize the call of God, it's an incredible thing. Unfortunately, too many walk away. They follow this, they follow that, they go here, they go there, they do this, they do that. But boy, don't ask them to stay true to the Word of God, because they're not going to do it. And so Paul is warning young Timothy. He's saying, look, don't neglect this gift that has been given to you through the laying on of my hands. But stay faithful. Stay true. You've got a great heritage. Don't do anything to blow it. Don't do anything to cast it off. Don't become a cast off. And so guard yourself, and you'll be gifted. And you know what? Parents want to see their children gifted. Really gifted. And parents want to see their children succeed. And a part of success in our children is to honor God and His Word, and His will, and His way. Number three, this produces, if you will, God's will in us, which is to have a fearless life, to lead a fearless life. Look at the beginning of verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, or if you will, a spirit of fear, or a spirit of silence. But Paul's writing to the young Timothy, and he's saying, look, be bold in your faith. Don't be a coward. Don't be quiet. And as the world clamors more and more and more for you to be silent about your faith, don't be silent. Because God hasn't given us a fear or a spirit of fear, a spirit of being timid, but He's given us a spirit of power. Too many Christians are bowing down and being silent. You want to know something? When Christians become silent, it's because they don't love the lost enough. When we truly love the lost, we'll warn them of sin. We don't Let them toy with sin. If we love them enough, we confront them about sin. So the question boils down to, do I love my friends enough to confront them about their sins? Or don't I really care? I'll just let them do what they want to do. After all, it's a free country. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, the lake of fire that burns forever is not exactly freedom. It's not freedom. And so it's important that we warn the lost, because God hasn't given us a spirit of silence, a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity. He wants us to be witnesses and to declare our faith, even when the world clamors for us to be quiet. Let's do God's will. Let's do His bidding. Let's live a fearless life. A godly parent wants their children to live a godly life and to not be afraid of their faith. Number four, a godly parent truly wants their child to have a power within. Look at the second part of verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power. But of power. Can I tell you something, folks? The day of Pentecost was not about speaking in tongues. That's not what the day of Pentecost was about. The day of Pentecost was about a church being empowered to reach out to a world that was lost. That's what the day of Pentecost was about. It wasn't about show. It was about go. Remember, Jesus had told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what the day of Pentecost was about. That was the beginning of the church. And He told the disciples before He ever ascended back into heaven, He said, look, go to Jerusalem and wait. And wait until you receive power from on high. The gift of tongues was the manifestation of being able to communicate with people that didn't speak your language the glorious things of God so that people could come to faith. That's what that was all about. Read the beginning of the book of Acts chapter 2 and you'll find out that there were people from all nations gathered together. That means that there were people of all languages gathered together, and that's why they were so amazed when this sounding is going out and they're saying, man, these are all Galileans, and yet we hear them in our own language. What in the world's going on here? The glorious things of God they're declaring. It wasn't about speaking in tongues. It was about communicating the gospel so that people could be saved. And then Peter got up and he spoke in one language and God anointed all to be able to understand. That's incredible. Were added to the church. That's pretty good revival. It's quite effective. 3,000 new believers ready to go back to their home countries and say, man, I went there for this purpose, but I've come back with a fresh perspective. And being able communicate God. You see, folks, that's what it's about. It's about having a power within. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. It is He who comes and indwells us. It is He who comes and assures us. It is He who comes and confirms to us. It is He who comes and convicts us. It is He who comes and convinces us of God and everything about Him. And when we begin to resist Him, His voice gets more and more quiet. Pretty soon we don't hear the voice of God anymore. and we're like Saul. God no longer speaks to me. Folks, God wants us to have a power within that is genuine, a power within that is faithful and obedient to God and to His Word, and not to our entertainment. A godly parent wants their children to have a power within. Number five, a godly parent wants us to have a love like God's. Look at the third part of that seventh verse. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, we shouldn't be quiet, but of power, we should be boldly proclaiming the will of God and the word of God, and love. And love. You want to know something? When we begin to excuse people of their sin, just excuse it, we don't love them like God does. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not that we should just roll over and let them do whatever they want to do. We need to declare the truth of God everywhere. But I might offend my friend. Offend them. It's better they hear the truth and know the truth than burn in a lake of fire forever. If you love them, you'll speak the truth. If you love them, you'll boldly proclaim deliverance from their sin. Don't be a part of the new church, quote unquote. Don't be a part of the new church that declares good evil and evil good. You see, when churches begin to ordain homosexuals, they're calling evil good. When people begin to excuse homosexuals for their homosexuality, they're calling evil good. And do you know what that is? It's blasphemy. Don't be suckered in to being a blasphemer. Speak the truth always. Always. We need to have a love like God's. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then notice the last thing that a truly godly woman wants for her children, a truly godly parent wants for their children, is they want them to have sound judgment. Notice this, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. The word discipline there means a sound mind, or, if you will, good judgment. Because that's what God wants. He wants His children to be smart in the things of God and stupid in the things of the world. I know I probably offended somebody by saying stupid. But God doesn't want us smart in the things of the world. But instead, He wants us pure. He wants us holy. He wants us to be people of integrity, people of honor. He wants us to be people of faithful obedience to Him, to His will, and to His plan. And any parent worth their salt wants that for their kids. They want their kids to grow up and be able to make sound judgment decisions. Sound judgment decisions are to pray about things and to follow God's way. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you this morning to please take your hymnals. And open up with me to number 72. It's a little chorus. We will glorify. If you're here today and this is your cry of your heart to glorify the Lord in everything that you do, I'm going to ask you to sing out. If that's not the cry of your heart, there's something desperately wrong on the inside, I'm going to ask you to pray while we're singing. And ask God to place within you a passion to follow Him and His way, and not your own self-centeredness and selfishness. Die out today to self-centeredness. Give your life to Jesus Christ so that you can have hope and joy on the inside. Let's sing number 72. And again, just a little short chorus. And if God is speaking to you, maybe there's something in you that's just not right and you know it's not right, now's the time to pray. Give it over to Him.